Let's talk about Star Trek Lower Decks Episode 2. And Brian, catch us up too, because you have been able to watch not only Episode 2, but Episode 1 as well.
Yeah, I got this one. I got the whole family to watch together. And it's interesting because the pacing in the style of humor is very reminiscent of Rick and Morty. Only they dial back the grossness of it. They put some sweetness in there in that one of the main characters turns out to be the child of, you know, the admiral and the captain or whatever, and the complications that are in there. But what I love about it is that it, imagine you had spent 7 years reading the Dungeons and Dragons player's manual. And you spoke this language and you knew who everyone was. And then all of a sudden someone, for the first time ever, decided to tell a fun, fast-paced story. And it happened to use all the language that you'd been studying for 5 to 7 years. And I was like, I loved it. I loved it a lot. I was really surprised.
I last week when we talked about Second Contact, episode one, I was saying that I liked the characters. I liked some of the jokes and I liked where they were going. I needed to give it a little more time, but there was nothing I hated about it. Envoys charmed me. I was like, okay, maybe last week I was just getting to know everyone, right? It was just that awkward moment where you're at the party and you're like, oh, Ensign Boimler. Oh, nice. Oh, so you're like that. Okay. And this week, you know, I knew him. And I think Ensign Mariner is now one of my favorite Star Trek characters of all time because she just goes. And she is the voice of all of us when we've been yelling at a Star Trek show, like, why don't you just do this? Or making a joke about, like, wouldn't it be better if you just, you know, sold the stuff to the farmers? And then she goes and sells the stuff to the farmers. Like, it's amazing. And I really enjoyed Envoys. I think it's starting to win me over.
And beneath all of that is, like, some real questions. Like, I feel like, I fingers crossed, hope that we get to a place where it starts to subvert kind of the dumber aspects of the Federation, you know, the no, we don't have money. Why would we want money or whatever? You know, I mean, it's like, I don't know. I think there's massive, massive potential, and the pacing's great and the comedy writing is good. And I like the fact that we're coalescing around just four core characters. And I believe the second episode was the one where the cyborg dude kind of takes a tour of all the other jobs on the ship, right?
Right, right. And that was just a great way to kind of introduce you to the rest of the ship while still focusing on one of our main characters. I thought that was a cool device.
Yeah, no. I mean, to be honest, it feels like Teen Titans Go, but in a world I understand better.
Yeah, last week my thoughts were, okay, so they're taking a normal Star Trek episode, which is a lot of work to create that, and then putting us in these characters' ancillary perspective. They definitely did that again this week, but my perspective has shifted a little to think it's actually just a Star Trek episode, because what happens in a Star Trek episode is we have a lot of meetings. We have a meeting about the thing that we just talked about on the screen, and what are we going to do about the thing, and then we go do the thing. This is exactly the same episode, except instead of meeting and strategizing before we go do the thing, they goof off and hang out. What? Before they have to go do the thing, because they don't have to make the decision.
They have more flexibility. They get to break the rules. Like imagine if it's Star Trek only, you know, everybody gets to break the rules and it doesn't matter because, you know, they're freshmen, you know, who cares?
Yeah. I am in fact looking forward to episode 3. Bryce, do you have any other thoughts on this week?
I feel pretty good. I think I'm probably a couple clicks higher up than I was last week, now that we've kind of starting to settle in, like you guys mentioned, and we're seeing the characters do stuff. We're not setting up a bunch of stuff. And so I'd like to see more of this. I did think that the A plot ended up feeling like I feel a little bit like, and I don't exactly know why, but it makes me feel like when I watched Space Force, I ended up watching all of Space Force and feeling like, well, am I supposed to root for the dumb guy who's doing things wrong? Or am I supposed to root for the fuddy-duddy who is shown up at every turn? I'm getting a whiff of that. Not all the way, but I'm getting
a whiff of that. You're supposed to root for Ensign Mariner. That is my answer to you.
Okay.
And Samarino, that's the daughter.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She kind of has, like, not only actual diplomatic immunity, but emotional diplomatic immunity, because you know that, you know, it's hard to grow up on the ship when your parents are in charge, you know.
Already has some depth that the other three characters really don't have, because
also knows what she's doing.
Her.
She's kind of the Rick Sanchez of this group.
Right. I mean,
where it's like she does a bunch of dumb
skip
stuff.
All this. Yeah.
But we already know she's not dumb. She's like, no, I only do dumb stuff because doing the smart stuff is boring, and I want to do something more interesting than that.
I guess she still had the ship get stolen, so I don't know. Maybe you could have just done the job and just get into it.
She didn't care, though, Bryce. Don't be a boimler.
That's it. Yeah, I'm a boimler.
Two words, Rick Sanchez.
Oh, jeez, Mariner.
Oh. All right, so that is Star Trek Lower Decks, episode 2 of season 1.